7 o'clock. We're on KABF 88.3, www.kabf.org. We're live streaming. We're 100,000 watts of people power broadcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas. In Wade's World, every Friday, we talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today, we're lucky to have Jasmine Tucker, a research analyst with the National Priorities Project based in Western Massachusetts. Welcome, Jasmine.
Thank you, Wade, for having me. Delighted to be here.
Our pleasure. And why we reached out for Jasmine is y'all just put out a very interesting report about how people's taxes went from their pocket to different allocations in the federal government for 2013. Have you gotten a lot of good reaction to this so far?
Every year this gets a tremendous reaction because I think people are often very surprised at the results.
Well, particularly with looking at it myself, the headlines and the results are so different. What's our big expenditure once again, as it always is?
It's the military. It's always the military. So our chart breaks down a dollar. So for every dollar in federal income taxes that we spend, 27 cents goes to the military.
So 27%. And this is with all of the discussion about cutting back the military, that we're finally ending perhaps, we hope, a couple of wars and, you know, mustering out troops and everything else, yet still almost a third of our money is going to the military, huh?
I think that's one of the big things that surprises people. Just as you mentioned, you know, we're drawing down troops this year. We hope that we'll be fully out of Afghanistan by the end of 2014, yet we're still spending so much on the military, and we're probably going to continue to spend a lot on the military, despite polling that shows that nearly 6 in 10 people would support substantial reductions in military spending.
And when we're talking about military spending, we're not even talking about what we pay for our veterans who actually spent time over there, because they show up about fourth on the list of federal expenditures, don't they?
They do. So our military number is different from some other folks' military numbers because some people are at liberty to sort of militarize more of the federal budget than we are. So our military numbers include, you know, sort of traditional Department of Defense-based spending, and then there's also, you know, nuclear weapons and war funding. But there's potentially other areas in the budget that includes some military funding. So we do separate out our veterans' benefits, and we spend about a nickel of every federal income tax dollar on our veterans.
Yeah, and I don't want to go through, you know, what it says about our American culture and politics that we'll spend 27 cents on bombs and only 5 cents for the people who put their lives at risk and are often still damaged from the experience. Now, Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care, Affordable Care Act has been huge. Health expenditures are also significant in the federal budget, but it's not so much the new program as it is Medicaid still, right?
You know, our health care spending has been going up. It's been trending up for decades. In the 1970s, we spent maybe 7% of our GDP on health care, and now we're spending over a quarter of our GDP on health care every year. And so now that we're seeing the Affordable Care Act come into effect, those costs are sort of, they're slowing a little bit. I mean, they're still growing. And so there are some initial studies that indicate that the Affordable Care Act might actually continue to slow those costs, but it's still too early to tell. And I think one of our main priorities in this country is to have a conversation about how we want to pay for our health care.
The other irony is, of course, the percentage of our GNP that goes to health care is, I think, higher than any other industrialized country, isn't it?
You know, I don't have those numbers at my fingertips, but I wouldn't be surprised. Although, you know, healthcare costs are growing around the world, so it wouldn't surprise me if also other folks were spending a significant amount on healthcare as well.
Well, we want to keep people healthy, and of the expenditures, it looks like a little less than half of the total expenditures for health are in the Medicaid category, and of course, that has to do with taking care of elderly people. That's a good thing. So I think people don't probably realize that so much of our health care still is a program that is extremely popular for all of the controversy they want to stir up about affordable care. It's really, you know, what we've done for the last 60 years that's costing a significant part of this bill.
Right. So we don't actually include much of Medicare in our healthcare numbers because that's funded mostly by payroll taxes. And so our tax receipt here, it sort of excludes payroll taxes and just looks at federal income tax dollars. So we may not be accounting for all of our healthcare costs here in the total federal budget.
Gotcha. So what are the other, on the other side of it, you know, international aid is always a conservative, you know, if you turn on Fox News, you'd think that half of our money is going to some foreign country. That's not very high on the list of our federal tax expenditures, is it?
It's not. But, you know, the military number does include some of, you know, bases that we open in other countries. So international affairs, we're only spending about, it's 1.5 cents out of every federal income tax dollar on international affairs.
That's almost a rounding error, frankly. That's hardly any money. And to tell you the truth, if you're saying some of the international expenditures are military, there's a big difference between security and helping countries develop. And security, I don't think Fox News is complaining about security expenditures. I think they're complaining about the free ride we're giving starving people in, you know, Africa or something. I never can understand the argument. Housing is also not a big item for our expenditures, is it? And that's becoming a huge issue for people throughout the country, has been, especially after the recession.
Absolutely. So we're only spending about 4 cents of every federal income tax dollar on housing. And, you know, housing costs are continuing to rise. And it's because, houses are getting bigger and we're still trying to recover here from the bubble and the recession, as you mentioned. And so I think people would be surprised to know that we're not spending as much on housing and community or education programs or a variety of other important programs to the American people.
And within that couple of cents we're spending on housing on y'all's calculations, it also embeds community development block grants and low-income home energy assistance, LAHEAP as it's called, which are few of the only programs left that are exclusively intended, at least, to be supportive of lower-income families, although certainly CDBG money, the community development money, ends up funding a lot of development, some of which is controversial for how little low-income people get. But of that housing, it's not like this is public housing expenditures. A lot of this is not, you know, is going all kinds of places and not necessarily to poor people in the middle of the central city, is it?
You make great points, absolutely.
Okay. And education. Hey, you know, for all the big table thumping about the education our children are getting, that doesn't get a lot of money either. In fact, even less than housing from your numbers.
This continues to be one of the big surprises that people see in our tax receipts. So we spent just 2 cents for every federal income tax dollar in 2013 on education programs. And this is in spite of consistent polling that shows Americans want to invest in our education system and that education should be a top priority for the president and Congress this year, yet we don't increase the spending. And although President Obama continues to push for sort of universal pre-K and other investments in education, we don't see them going through Congress. We don't actually see them coming into effect.
Well, yeah, we don't want to get into what can get through Congress these days. That's a probably even scarier topic for our listeners than how federal taxes are spent. But transportation is also a weak link in all the discussion about how we need huge infrastructure investments. That, a lot of that speaks to transportation, but that's even getting less than education, isn't it?
It is. It's only seeing 1.4 cents of every federal income tax dollar in 2013 on transportation. And so we have seen some federal budget proposals from President Obama and some others that want to do some big transportation and infrastructure investments and job creation in that way. But again, who knows what we'll see.
Well, exactly right. And we're talking to Jasmine Tucker, who's a research analyst for the National Priorities Project, which has been doing these, taking a hard look at how the federal income tax dollars are spent and how that translates to the budget. For how many years did you say y'all have been doing this, 20, 25?
The National Priorities Project has been around for 30 years, but we have just been doing the income tax receipt since 2010.
Well, I just, you know, backdated that for you, didn't I? Well, anyway, it's a great project, and I bet you're doing it another 20 years. And if I were to fill out, I noticed on your website, which is, I'm going to ask you later to tell people how they can get this report and how to access your website, but it says we can also look at if there's any difference for our state. So if I put in, can you walk me through how I would have people in Arkansas look at whether or not there's any difference for Arkansas? How would I do that?
Absolutely. So on our website, there's a tax day receipt. And so the American people paid on average $11,715 in federal income taxes in 2013. And then we break that down by what people in each state on average were paying. And so in Arkansas...
We're not paying our fair share, are we? It looks like we're only paying an average of, what, $8,500?
Yep, $8,497 in federal income taxes for the average person in Arkansas in 2013.
Although I'm looking quickly, it looks like there's not a whole lot of difference in how it's distributed, though, is it?
It's not. It's going to be distributed roughly the same, although, you know, income is slightly lower in Arkansas than it is in other states, so that's why we're seeing slightly less in federal income tax aid.
So do y'all, as y'all look at this and you get reaction from everywhere, what kind of policy suggestions are y'all compiling of people who think that this should be different?
Great questions. I think that tax day is a great opportunity for folks to really see where their taxes are going and to decide if Washington's priorities really match up with their own priorities for our nation. And so this analysis really breaks down, you know, how much was allocated to those specific programs that Americans care about. So they can look at this tax receipt and decide, you know, I don't like this or I do like that. And so this should be sort of a catalyst to action where they can contact their elected officials, write op-eds, you know, get out there and do the work to see if we can make some change.
And are you all asked for copies of your reports widely by various other public policy and politicians?
Absolutely. This is getting a lot of attention around the country, and we're pleased to be able to provide it.
So when we were talking about how poor a state Arkansas is, and that's certainly the truth and has been for a long time, that must mean that a huge amount of our money from our tax dollar probably goes to welfare payments and job training. But, you know, I look at this chart, I don't see it.
So we have a completely other set of data tools that will show you how federal tax dollars are flowing into your state. So you can also find that on our website. So what we're looking at in this tax receipt are just federal income taxes paid. So this is just completely federal programs. And it doesn't account for, so, you know, Arkansas is not necessarily seeing all of this money back into the state. This is strictly going to the federal government.
Well, but even our money going to the federal government looks like it's, I mean, this is out of my head, so I'm probably wrong, but half of one penny at the most maybe goes to TANF, which is what we call the welfare program now?
Yep, that's right.
And of that, you know, half of one penny, only a quarter of a penny goes to job training. So talk about a mismatch for all the ideological discussion about, you know, look at everybody on welfare and blah, blah, blah. That's just not true. And if we wanted people to have jobs, we're certainly not spending it on job training, are we, at the federal level?
And, you know, people across party lines say that they want to improve the job situation and they want to invest in jobs, but we don't see that. We don't see that money coming in.
So looking at your website, as I went to find this, it says that you've been nominated for the Nobel Prize, the National Priorities Project. Is that right?
We have. We've been so honored to be nominated for the Nobel. It stems from our longstanding work, 30 years to be exact, in peace spending. So the National Priorities Project, since before I was able to join, has been doing lots of research and exposing exactly what we're spending on the military and providing some transparency there where others were not.
Well, let's talk about what your overall work has been. We've now gotten pretty deeply into both Arkansas and the federal tax dollars, but if peace has been a big priority, give us some history of how the organization began and what its, you know, core mission continues to be.
Sure. So the National Priorities Project, you know, our main mission is to make the U.S. the federal budget accessible to anyone and everyone. And we believe that the essential vision of democracy is that our federal budget will represent the priorities of a majority of Americans. And so polling has showed us throughout the years that people are not that jazzed up about spending a lot on our military. And like I said before, nearly 6 in 10 would support substantial reductions in the military. And so from our inception, MPP has really fortified a movement to track federal spending in the military and on war and to use that information to engage the American public on federal spending priorities. So while a core part of our continued work is analysis of the military budget, our greater mission is to sort of crack open the complex federal budget and the budget process for people in grassroots communities around the country who are working to change those budget priorities. So, you know, looking exactly at how we spend on the military and looking at, you know, where we can trim, where we can cut back there to better meet, you know, the current national security issues that we face, and reallocating some of those funds potentially to other important programs that Americans care about.
And we're talking to Jasmine Tucker, who's a research analyst with the National Priorities Project, about the federal tax dollar and how it's spent. How would people take action? What are you all suggesting? If people hear these figures and say, oh, mercy, I'm not there. I don't want the money spent that way. I want it spent on education or on better housing or whatever. What are you suggesting people should do?
The first thing that people should do is contact their member of Congress. That's sort of the first way in, and it's not going to take just one letter. It's going to take hundreds of letters, you know. So you write a letter and you tell someone else to write a letter and they tell someone else, and then you continue to get the word out, because maybe one letter won't grab a congressperson's attention, but multiple will, you know, 10, 20, you know. So that's the first sort of thing. There's a variety of other things too. There's writing op-eds, there's protesting, there's starting a movement. Getting people who are like-minded to start a group and to get together like-minded folks together. I mean, every little bit certainly helps, and we certainly encourage people to make sure that their voices are heard.
And do you have some sort of interactive tools that on specific issues, if people went to your website, they could contact their representative to voice their opinion, or is that not part of the scope?
Oh, we absolutely do. So if you go to our website, you can find out, you know, how to register to vote. You can learn who represents you. You can contact your representative. We have all tools for that. And then we have options to stay informed with MPP's work, to contact the media, and then a variety of other ways to stay active in your community.
And are y'all, this is a change the subject a little bit, but we've mentioned that y'all are operating out of Western Massachusetts. And is that in the Springfield, Massachusetts area?
It is in the Springfield, Massachusetts area.
Is that where your offices are, or?
Yep, it's in Northampton, Massachusetts, and which has been, a great, I think, opportunity for us, because we, you know, we study the federal budget, and we are in, but not necessarily of, Washington, D.C., and I think that gives us, you know, a little bit of different perspective than other organizations who are in the Beltway, in the Washington, D.C. Beltway, and that gives us sort of a unique opportunity to reach out to folks who are not in the Beltway.
Well, Northampton, you're sort of in and of Smith College, right? Isn't that the big institution in Northampton?
Yes, there are a variety of, there's Amherst, and there's Smith, and there's UMass, all sort of right around in the same area. So we get lots of wonderful interns from all of those places.
Well, and Hampshire College is also right there in the thick of that sort of nest of colleges, isn't it?
Yep, it's definitely a college town.
No question. Well, I'm very sympathetic to anything out of Springfield. I started as an organizer in Springfield myself in the late 60s with Welfare Rights, so that was probably even before. But looking at your website, I think part of the founding story is very dear. It was started by a couple of buddies, it looks like, who said, hey, you know, we ought to be able to do something, and started trying to put the research together. Is that right?
It is, and they did a lot of different work, you know, state work, and so we've kind of come around to more federal budget work, but we absolutely stay true to those roots, and, you know, we honor Greg, and we channel him in our everyday work.
And how are y'all supported?
We are supported both by individual donors, so people just like you who donate $5, $10, $100 a year, and then we also seek funding from foundations.
Well, good luck with that. That's a thankless process, isn't it?
It can be tough, and there's been a huge switch in recent years, you know, because foundations are also, you know, getting a little strapped from, you know, one-year grants. From two-year grants or longer to just 1 year, and so it's an uphill battle for sure.
Well, and, you know, even with all the discussion about inequality and the rich getting richer, that doesn't mean that there's more money going into research and even action projects like you're involved in. I know that. So we've been all around looking at National Priorities Project, and you've been a researcher with them for a couple of years, Jasmine, or recently, or what?
I actually just joined in January, so it's been an absolute delight.
Well, there you go. So are there any new projects that you'd like people to know about that are coming down the pike from NPP?
Absolutely. So this summer we're planning to launch a project called 50 Nifty, and that will show a little more. So we currently have some data on how the federal budget flows into states, so what's being spent in the federal government. On Arkansas alone, you know, on TANF or on Social Security and more programs. And so we're launching a new project called 50 Nifty that's going to make that a little more accessible to you. So you'll be able to go to a page labeled Arkansas and see exactly how much is being spent on each of those programs and how federal dollars are flowing into Arkansas specifically.
Fascinating. And you expect that to be ready when?
Around the summertime, so June or July.
Okay. And it'll show how much goes to federal parks versus how much goes to federal TANF dollars or anything else, huh?
Yeah. We're really excited, and we're collecting all the data now, and it should be really, really enlightening for folks.
We've danced around this a number of times, but how would people access this information?
If they go to our website, which is nationalpriorities.org, so nationalpriorities.org, and so on our front page, there is tax day and where your taxes went. So that's how you can access all the tax receipt information.
And on the website, can people also connect to how to make a contribution to support your work?
Absolutely. We have that all over the page.
A truer word was never spoken, huh, Jasmine?
Oh, my. We welcome and are honored to be supported by average people just like you.
So people can get on the website, which is, once again, www.nationalpriorities.org. We've been talking to research analyst Jasmine Tucker, who works for the National Priorities Project, about how tax dollars are spent. So there's big debate now about the budget, and Congressman Ryan is arguing one set of things about how the federal budget should work, and some of it's sleight of hand, and President Obama and the administration are arguing another set of things about how the budget would work. How would any of this play out in terms of both our taxes and any shifting of budget items across what we've been discussing?
Great questions. So every year, the National Priorities Project publishes a competing visions document, and so it shows public opinion, so it shows what Americans want for our country, and then it shows what President Obama proposed, what Paul Ryan proposed, and then what the House Congressional Progressive Caucus budget proposed. So under job creation, we see, you know, the House Congressional Progressive Caucus budget proposing trillions of dollars in job creation. President Obama also invests in job creation, but Paul Ryan doesn't. And we see...
And isn't that ironic?
What's that?
Isn't that ironic that there's nothing in that budget? I mean, but that's part of the conundrum of looking at the Ryan budget, is so many things don't line up with what they're saying.
You know, Representative Ryan's MO is that if he cuts taxes, then jobs will just magically be created. And so, you know, we've had tax cuts for a number of years, you know, the Bush era tax cuts, and we're still not seeing a lot of job creation. So I'm not quite sure how he's intending to make that happen.
It's like the old story of developing the West, that rain follows the plow. If we just move west, somehow miraculously crops will grow, because if we plant, there'll be rain. Well, it's sort of like if we cut taxes, somehow jobs will grow, and yet we don't see that anywhere other than we see people who are, unfortunately, rich, getting richer, it seems. Is there anything else in the budget? He wants to cut a lot of the medical expenditures, doesn't he? I know it doesn't say that, but it seems like that's part of what he's arguing.
Well, he wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and so that means, you know, millions of people would lose their newly found health care, and he would pull back on Medicaid, the Medicaid expansions under the Affordable Care Act, and then he would also make lots of changes to Medicare, which is a program that supports elderly Americans, and so people would be paying more out of pocket, and they would have fewer options on where they can get their care, and then it would also raise the ability of raise the age of eligibility to correspond with Social Security's retirement age. So it would make tons of changes there and would basically be revenue neutral, because he's making all these cuts, and then he also makes tax cuts. So he would, while the American people want to see wealthy and corporations pay more, you know, their fair share of taxes, he would actually cut them and reduce the corporate tax rate, and then reduce tax rates for top earners and replace the current tax brackets for the top two, or replace all of our current tax brackets with just two tax brackets at 10 and 25%.
Brian has some cans.
Well, and you make the point that Americans want corporations, et cetera, to pay more, but you know, the other point you just made is, or pay their fair share. I mean, we'd have so much more money if corporations actually paid the rate they're supposed to pay now, when you look at that. And I bet you must have a report that looks at how corporations and others are really paying taxes. Do you?
We do. We just released it this week, and it's the big money in tax breaks. So the top 10 tax breaks that we have in this country are siphoning off $770 billion every year. And so that's both corporate tax breaks and individual tax breaks. And the majority of these tax breaks are really benefiting, you know, the top 1% and corporations who have a lot of money.
Well, and frankly, Jasmine, $100 billion here, $100 billion there, pretty much pretty soon you're talking about real money, aren't you? We could do a lot with $700 billion, couldn't we?
We really could. In 2015, I think we're expected to lose about $1.2 trillion in tax revenue from all the tax breaks that we have. And that's about as much as our entire discretionary budget. So imagine what we could have if we started cutting some of those tax breaks.
Well, crazy, crazy. And we don't want to get into any more math shaming. We've certainly put a lot of numbers and figures out on people. But the bottom line, we've been hearing from Jasmine Tucker, a research analyst with the National Priorities Project, is that you may be surprised at how your federal tax dollar is really being spent. And whether you like it or not, it doesn't necessarily reflect what you say you want the money spent on. Jasmine, I want you to once again tell people how they can get access to not only the federal tax report, but some of the other reports you're talking about, and how they can support National Priorities Project.
Absolutely. Our website is www.nationalpriorities.org, and a variety of our new reports, including this tax day report, are right on our homepage. And if folks would like to donate to us, there are buttons for that there as well.
Well, and I'm sure, as she said, that they need the donations. This has been Wade Rathke with Wade's World, our weekly interview show on WWWKABF. We've been live streaming, and we've been on the air at 100,000 watts of people power throughout Arkansas, but you can also get this on podcast by Monday or Tuesday of the week. Next week, we're going to be talking about labor issues with Steve Early. Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Arkansas. We'll be seeing you again on Friday of next week. Wage World, over and out.
Profile America, Friday, April 25th. Many automobile license plates proclaim glories of the issuing states. Others spell out something dear to the drivers but indecipherable to anyone else. Those plates and the basic ones handed out by motor vehicle departments are requirements to drive on public roads. New York was the first state to require license plates on motor vehicles on this date in 1901. At the time, there were just under 15,000 sputtering automobiles in the entire country, traveling over muddy, rudimentary roads without a license for the driver or the automobile. Now there are nearly a quarter billion cars, trucks, and buses in the nation, and all sporting license plates. Decorative frames for license plates are a niche product in America's 38,000 auto parts and accessory stores. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome to Vive la Vie. We're here sitting around the table talking about the good things in life, food, drink, and travel on KABF 88.3, the voice of the people. Good morning, everyone.